The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
When we pray, do we pray that God will take me out of me? Do I pray that God will take me out of me and fill me with Him, with caring kindness? See, when we become more pure, more like God, with great attitudes, our openness of our thoughts reflect what kind of God is in our life, in our hearts. See, having a pure heart is difficult when we whine and when we want things and we get mad about life that happens to us. Do we let our emotions, our minds wander away from God in life? Because we're so busy. Good hearts, good thoughts, good emotions, and good actions. It's a process to practice. Our dependence on God who created us in life. Do I give God honor for my life? Do I give God prime time in my life? You know, you talk about it on TV, prime time. Do I give God prime time in my life? So I can become more like God. So I can honor God in all His holiness. The first commandment in Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3, it says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Do we think God was kidding? Let's look at God's first commandment today. You shall have no other gods before me. In Exodus 31, verse 18, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him, talking about God here, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. See, the Ten Commandments were written with God's own finger. How awesome is that? What great power that comes from our great God. What about us as people? Have we ever tried to write on a hard rock, stone with our fingernail and try to make an indention in it so that we can write a letter to somebody with our fingernail? That's how great God is, because He did that. If you'll turn to Exodus 34, verse 1, talking about these new stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. The Lord said to Moses in verse 1, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Why did Moses break the tablets? Because they were worshiping an idol god made of gold, a golden calf. And it upset Moses, so he threw it, and he had to make two more. So God said in verse 2, be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out the two stone tablets like the first ones and went up to Mount Sinai in verse 4. Early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. And then verse 5, in Exodus 34, and then the Lord came down in the cloud. God came down in a cloud to Moses and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, I am. The eternal, I am the Lord. In verse 6, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the Lord. How do you write that? You know how powerful that is? He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming that I am, the Lord, the eternal. The compassionate and gracious God who is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Do I put God first in my life? Am I abounding in love and in faithfulness to my great God? In verse 8 it says, Moses bowed to the ground at once, and he worshiped the Lord. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. The Israelites talking about here. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness. In our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. In verse 10, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in the world. Never before done. What did God do to the nation of Israel? He opened up the Red Sea. He rained down quail for meat and gave them manna for bread to eat for 40 years. He took water out of a rock, a big old rock, and he brought water for the Israelites, over a million people, to drink. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in the world, God says. Verse 11, it says, but obey what I command you today, and I will drive out all these people, the Amorites and the Canaanites and Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those people who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Almost like the world is today. It's a snare among us if we allow that to enter into our minds. Verse 14, it says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Back up one verse, it says, break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut them down, their Asherah poles. See, in verse 15, it says, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make any idols, it says in verse 17. Why didn't Moses remember this? See, we have all these scriptures of history to remind us of who God is. Are we listening? You see, Solomon, I guess, forgot who God is. Exodus 34, verse 21, it says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing seasons and harvest, you must rest. Even when we're super busy in life, you must rest. Are we so busy that we don't rest, that we don't worship God? See, God tells us not to forget who He is, not to have any other gods before us but God. Most of the people of today's world have lost the facts about just how great God really is. Has the Bible, has God been forgotten in this age, the 21st century? When Jesus the Christ, our Lord, was asked which of the laws found in the scriptures is supreme, most important, the greatest, Jesus Christ responded with the right answer. In Matthew 22, if you'll turn to Matthew 22, verse 35, you see, God wants our best in life. Do we give God our best in life? Do we love God first? To seek God first? See, good things happen in us, inside our hearts and our lives, when we put God first. In Matthew 22, verse 35, says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, he asked a question. Lawyers are always asking questions. Tempting him and saying in verse 36, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, we all know it by heart, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's why it's first. That's why it's number one. Because God is supposed to be number one in our lives. Also, he referred to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. As we go about our daily busy lives, do we remember to pause and to pray and to practice seeking God in our lives? Putting in those godly principles in our own lives to put God first, to love God first daily in our lives, to seek His will, to seek His favor by obeying Him. See, His Son, Jesus Christ, shows us how to beseech God, how to cry out to God when we're in need. Jesus Christ shows us how to communicate with our great God daily. in prayer so that we continue to know God better and to become holy like God is holy. Jesus Christ shows us by his life's examples how to love God first daily, how to worship God in spirit and in truth with all of his being and with all of his life, even given his life because his Father said so. Jesus Christ shows us how to establish, develop, and maintain a one-on-one personal relationship with God the Father, asking God to give us this day our daily bread, this spiritual daily bread with God, so God can and will be our most important primary focus in our life. Loving God first in life daily, the first commandment. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Daily! God demands first place in our lives, doesn't he? Having no other things, no other little gods before us in life, loving God first in life. It's an attainable life goal. It's our duty to God. If you'll turn to Daniel 3, verse 1. You see, love God first was not so popular in Daniel's time for a short while. We read here in Daniel 3, it was even dangerous to love God first. Daniel 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura. He set this idol up in Dura, in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Verse 2 in Daniel 3, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together all the princesses, all the governors, all the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So they all came. And in verse 7 it says, therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and all this music, all the people and the nations and the languages, they fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. What did God say? God says, do not bow down to anybody but him. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were giants among us as examples of how to love God first in our life, how to obey God, no matter what. Continuing in Daniel 3, verse 10, it says, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all that music shall fall down and worship the golden image. See, these guys are putting their lives on the line here. Are they going to fall down? Verse 11, whoso falleth down not and worship, that he should be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O God, have not regarded you. They serve not your God, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. They refuse to worship a golden image. Verse 13, and Nebuchadnezzar, he throws a fit. And his fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before the king. So in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar speaks to them. Is it true? You won't bow down and worship my God? My golden image? They said, nope, in verse 15. Verse 16, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer this in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, in verse 18, we still will not worship this golden image which you have set up. So King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that the furnace be heated seven more times hotter. And they binded Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You know the story. And they threw them in there. And, you know, the two guards that were bringing these men into the furnace, they died because it was so hot. Can you imagine these three men, their faith in God, sweating because the furnace is so hot, and they threw them in there. And King Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and there's four people. They couldn't believe that. And all the princes look. Look at this. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. See, not a hair of their head was burnt. Their clothes weren't burnt. And they were amazed. All these captains, all the people that were at the king's court, they couldn't believe this, how powerful God is. And in verse 29, therefore the king says, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a powerful miracle. You see, there may come a time in the future when we may be either forced to bow down to an idol, maybe take a mark, or if refusing to bow down, we may be killed if God does not protect us at that time. He might not decide to protect us. What choice will we make? What choice did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego make? They chose to worship God and have no other gods before them. Not the TV. Not their work. I can't tell you for the last 20 years how busy I get in November and December. And I could work 30 days in a row for November, 30 days in a row for December, and make an extra $10,000 for the last 10 or 15 years. But God says, I am to rest and worship Him. Not money. Not things, but Him. God makes us feel wanted by His eternal love, His mighty power, His hope found in His promises of the Holy Bible, His everlasting gift, His everlasting hope of taking care of us forever, receiving everlasting life forever for those who love God first daily. Do we dance with God in life? Do we dance with God in life? Are we in step with God? We learn to dance by practicing. We learn to worship God by practicing with God. And Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and we have our being in God." Jacob wrestled with God all night. Remember Genesis 32? Verses 24 through 30. In verse 30 it said, when Jacob wrestled with God all night long, his life was preserved. When we know God, when we look to God, when we seek God and obey God, we are God's friends. Like Abraham, like King David, like Jacob. And our lives are preserved with God. When we love God first, when we repent to God, when we cleave to God, obey God, we become united in joining to our great God in life. You see, because we want God in life. We want to be a part of His plan. All that we are and everything that we have ultimately comes from God. He made everything. The Holy Bible announces that our Maker, our God, is both living and real. God is so real and powerful, the one and only true God. And it tells us this in Jeremiah 10:10. It tells us God is the everlasting King. The everlasting King. forever. And he wants us to love him first, now and forever. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God." Seeking God first daily in our life is our commitment to God. And all these other things will be added to us, but we need to seek God first daily in life. The first step in becoming a saint of God is loving God first in our life and everything we do. I went to hear a man speak at a meeting to share how he had recovered from alcoholism. The audience were left wondering why this man still had so many problems after 20 years of not drinking. See, recently when he was speaking, his lady just kicked him out of the house. He painted a picture of a man who did not believe in God, a man who did not know God or love God first in his life. He was book smart. This man was smart, very intelligent. He just had never come to know God and who God is, like we have, like we're doing. The man showed me that what not to do in life. He helped me to keep loving God, seeking God first in my life. Because God does have all the answers, doesn't he? He has all the solutions to our life's problems. That is so comforting to know. In Mark 12, verse 30, if we'll turn there. Mark 12, verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We get to know God by practicing his ways. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, "Now by this we know that we know him, if," look at that big word, "if we keep his commandments." God knows if we know him, if we love God first daily and obey him. If. There's a lot of ifs in life, isn't there? You turn to 1 Kings 9. We're going to talk about Solomon for a minute. 1 Kings 9, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Solomon was the wisest man on the earth besides Jesus Christ. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desires, which he was pleased to do." Verse 2, "that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time." So here it is, God appearing, our great God appearing to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. In verse 3, "And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Verse 4, and here comes this word again, "if." "And if thou wilt walk before me," if thou wilt walk before me, "as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." Verse 5, "then I will establish thy throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever." But you've got to do this first. "As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel." In verse 6 it says, "but if you shall at all turn from following me, you and your children will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people." See, God is a jealous God. So in verse 4 here still, says, if Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, verse 5, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So does he? Well, we'll go ahead two chapters later from chapter 9 to chapter 11 and see how Solomon did. 1 Kings 11, verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Do we fully go after our great God, to cleave to God, to worship God today in our busy lives? Today. See, Solomon forgot God. He forgot who God is. He stopped practicing God's ways and commands. It tells us in Scripture. He followed after other gods. His wives' other gods. Cleave means to stick to. Cleave, to attach and fasten, to adhere, to cling, to join, to link, to unite. Do we unite ourselves with God to love God first in life? To cleave, to adhere firmly and closely. Are we closely connected to God, loyally, unwaveringly? God wants us to cleave to Him, to be loyal, unwavering, joined to our great God. To worship only God in our life, to love God first, and to obey God, to honor God with uprightness, with integrity of our hearts, a right heart, a kind heart, an obeying heart with God. Are we upright with God? Do I love God first in my life daily, even before I love my own wife? We just had a little discussion this morning, and I was telling my wife what I was going to speak about. And she said, would you be interested in me? I said, first God, then you. And she just said, yes. And that's the way it's got to be. When I love God first, examine His ways to see if they are also my ways. And if they're not, I can make some corrections in my life, can't I? And go to God in prayer so I can turn to God and get it right. So I can get it right. So I can sense God's pure love. And I am able to love and to be loved. God is a loving, merciful, awesome, great God, as we've seen in Scripture. You know, before Sandy and I eat, we pray. We love God first. And we thank Him for all of our daily bread, our physical daily bread, before we eat. We love God first because He provides for us. Before we start our days in our lives, do we become enjoying with God in prayer? Through the Scriptures, learning about God, learning to put God first in our every fiber of our being, in our hearts and souls and mind. See, God wants us to raise the bar in our life to Him, in Him. That's a very tall order, and I'm still working on that. We learn to trust God and to love God first as we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, like King David. Searching and examining ourselves and getting to know our great God personally in prayer and Bible study, because God is love. David talked about it in Psalms 8:4. What is man that you are mindful of him? Because you are the great God, you are the sovereign God. Why are you mindful of us? Because He wants us in His family forever. Job 19:20 is talking about, do we get by in life by the skin of our teeth? I laughed when I read that scripture. Or do we sink our teeth, our time into finding out how great God is so that we can obey God fully like Job did at the end of his life. He was fully blessed. He lost just about everything but his life, but he was fully blessed because he learned to trust and obey God, and he found out who God really is. Will I follow where the prophets, the disciples, where also Jesus Christ has preached about? All these scriptures, will I follow where the prophets and the disciples have preached about? To love God first. To honor God with my tithes, money, my time, with my life, in obedience to our sovereign God of all time. That's what God wants to know. Will I honor him with my tithes? Because it's his money. It's already his money. Do I want to get rid of it? Do I want to be blessed? Then I need to honor God first with my tithes, with my time, and with my life in obedience to what he tells me in the Bible. And turn to 2 Peter 3. Verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." See, the disciple wants us to remember God, stirring up our pure minds with a remembrance of God, to be mindful, to remember who God is, to turn to God, to worship God, to obey God through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through Paul and Peter, through Jesus Christ, to love God first and only as our God. Verse 3, "And knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, as there are now." There's a lot of scoffers out there. There is no God, they say. In verse 4, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Verse 5, "And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness." That's what we're waiting for, the new heavens and new earth, to serve our great God. Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." It says, "Be diligent that you be found, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Will we be found in God, loving God first in our lives, living in harmony with God, united under God, spotless and blameless, seeking God daily when our great God returns as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings to this earth? Will we be found loving God first, blameless and without spot? You turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll close with this. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 9, "And who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Verse 10, "And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, life is not always easy, is it? Trials and persecutions will come our way. That is a given. God wants us to know through the scriptures, through the prophets, that God can do anything for us. Anything. Let's never allow the things in life to ever take the place of our great God. God wants us to have no other gods before us. Let's pray that God will. That God will help us stay absorbed, focused, in tune with just how awesome and sovereign our great loving God really is. Let's ask God to stir up His Spirit, His power within each and every one of us, so that we can cleave to God daily with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds, with all of our strength, so that we can become one with God, knowing God and who God is. Let's give God His glory first, daily in life, every day. Let's remember. Let's remember God and to obey God and to love God and to worship God first daily, so that God will count us worthy of His calling as one of His saints, guiding us in all areas of our lives as we wait till He comes.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.